Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, be with me this morning as I put out the words that your people need to hear, so that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts may be found acceptable in your sight. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Please be seated. I keep remembering some of the things that Pastor Buscher has been saying in his sermons the last few weeks. I know that you guys have heard them. You probably agree with them. Because we indeed have to go through it. We hear it on the TV. We hear it from our coworkers, our classmates, or in this case, former classmates. We hear about businesses that are almost having to close up shop because there are certain groups of people that seem to be wanting to attack Christian beliefs. You know who they are. There's also some of those people out there who would say that we're closed-minded. We need to open our minds and expand our knowledge. I'd almost like to ask them, so how far does my brain have to open before everything falls out? Then there are people out there who are searching for who they are, where they're supposed to go, what they're supposed to be doing. And I read through this gospel message this morning. I was thinking of fear. And I was trying to figure out what Jesus was trying to say, because this text is from the high priestly prayer. It's before Jesus is going to be crucified, before he is going to ascend into heaven. And as I looked through this, I was kind of wondering, what in the world is he talking about? The answer kind of came as I turned on the TV, or as I was looking on Facebook, or just reading some of my emails. But then I was asking the question because I had seen the prayers that Pastor Buscher left for me, or some of the petitions, and one of those things just kind of struck hard with me. We've got confirmation services going on. We have graduations getting ready to happen. We have young men and women who are graduating from high school, graduating from college. We're all proud of them. Especially if they're our own kids, right? We know what kind of struggles they went through. Whether they're going to go into getting a good job, whether they're going to pursue higher education, like going back into college. And then I wanted to ask you this question. Sorry, I can't stand behind a pulpit for too long. And some of you know. As you read through this text, or as you read through the text, what were you thinking? Before you answer the question, think about the text again. If you want to, take a few moments just to read it through silently. But look at it from two perspectives. From Jesus' perspective, from the disciples' perspective. And you're going to see something in there that's kind of hidden. But it's the great show of love and mercy on Jesus' part. Whether you're the parents or grandparents of graduates, you know that the sons and daughters that have gone through high school are about to leave the house. Some of you, of course, are going, okay, how fast can I get them out of this house? They need to be on their own. Some of them are hopefully going to be finding a very great job. Hopefully within the field of study that they went through in the university. But one thing is going to kind of be in common, either on parents' side or on the students' side. And that's the groups that I just mentioned. You know the ones who are carrying the multicolored flags. The ones who drive around with like that little sticker on the back of their car that looks like a fish but has two legs coming out of it and says Darwin in the middle. Again, there's going to be those people who are going to come up and ask your students, your kids, maybe even you, about what you believe. Because they themselves don't know what to believe. Because they're hearing all these different messages coming into them from everywhere. I don't know how many of you have seen the movie God Is Not Dead. Excellent movie. I loved the ending of it. If you haven't seen it, go out and see it. If anything, you're supporting a good Christian cause. But we kind of get the feeling of what goes on inside some universities, where they challenge people to think. Where the thinking is not necessarily on faith, it's on what can be proven. Prove to me that faith exists. How can you? When in Hebrews it says, hey, faith is the hope in things not seen. And of course, the reply to them that I've heard that's so good about it is, prove to me that there's air. You can't see it either. But we're breathing it every single second of every single day, right? But in our gospel message this morning, Jesus is with his disciples, and he's praying. He's talking to who? Who's he talking to? God the Father. He's talking to his heavenly dad. He's talking about such things as unity, being one, having joy fulfilled. But these things Jesus has already done. He's already given them joy. He's already made them believers. But now he's about to leave and the Holy Spirit will be coming down. But Jesus also is a prophet, isn't he? Come on, those of you who still remember your catechism, you know this, don't you? Jesus is going to ascend and the Holy Spirit will descend, as we get to see next week at Pentecost. Jesus is a prophet, though, in that he already knows what's out in our world. He knows what's in society. He knows what is in each one of these houses just around this building itself. He knows who's living in the houses in the neighborhoods that you live in. What's in those houses? Who lives there? We can take a guess. But we also know it by turning on the TV. Jesus knows who we're going to face and what we're going to face. And while we can tell him, we can say, oh yes, this is coming from the one gay and lesbian community out of our society, or the free thinkers, atheists, or those who are just plain lost, who are they ultimately coming from? Because what they have accepted as right or correct or acceptable doesn't come from the scriptures, doesn't come from the truth. So Jesus talks to his Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father, and what does he say? He does not say, take them out of this world. He's talking about us also. Don't take you out of society. He doesn't want us out of our neighborhoods. He doesn't want us out of our homes. He doesn't want to take us to heaven just yet. We still have a job to do. He says, let them stay. But knowing what is all around us, he prays, he talks to his Heavenly Father, he talks to him and asks him to do what? What does he ask his Heavenly Father to do? It's in your gospel reading. It's the truth. It's coming from Jesus, coming from God, the Heavenly Father. What does he ask him to do? What? He asks him for protection. Heavenly Father, protect them from the evil one. Protect them from all the lies that are out there. Protect them from all those false teachings, those teachings that are just plain wrong according to God's word. That means that no matter what they're telling us out there beyond those doors that is acceptable, doesn't have to be acceptable to us. It's not God's word. It's not God's truth. You have to face it. Our graduates have to face it. Jesus knows this. And he says, Heavenly Father, you've given me the truth. I've given them the truth. Thought just crossed my mind. What is the truth? What's the truth? Jesus, okay? Jesus is the truth. What about Jesus is the truth? He's God? Yes. What else is also a truth? Or the truth? What? He died for our sins. So all those times that we follow another truth and sin, Jesus was on the cross dying for that punishment. He was forsaken by his own Heavenly Father so that we don't have to be ignored by him. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the way. Jesus is life. We know that because it's in God's Word. John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's all we need to know. Or our mind's too closed-minded. Yes, my mind is closed. Hopefully yours is too. Because it already has what it needs. It already has the truth. Not only is it up here, it's down in here. Where we love our Jesus, where we love our Savior, where we love our Lord. Because of the Holy Spirit being in us. So in Jesus' prayer this morning that we're reading, Jesus shows us more love because he knows what's out there. He knows what we're going to face every day. All these different facts coming at us at one time, trying to tell us that that's the truth. The truth evolves. No, it doesn't. Jesus never changes. I'm about to say never change, but he doesn't change at all, does he? His truth is still there. God's Word is still with us. And yes, one of the questions that I might ask you is, which Bible is God's truth? Which Bible is God's Word? How many of you have seen all the translations out there on the market? Go to Walden Books or Barnes & Noble and you're going to see how many different translations of the Bible. Okay, but I can guarantee you one thing. I don't care which translation it is, it's all going to have the truth in there. All four Gospels will have the crucifixion and resurrection. You will still have the truth. It will still show you and tell you how much Jesus loves you and wants to have mercy on you and wants to be with you every moment of the day. And he only does that because he covered you in his blood to wash away all your sins. So now I ask you, as you've been in here and as you've heard the truth, as you've heard God's Word, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? What's that?
Spread the word.
And every so once in a while, speak it. Just a few moments, you're going to be coming up here to receive Jesus. Not as a memorial. Not just remembering who he was, but in a few moments I will be saying Christ's words over bread and wine. Jesus' words, not mine. And in that, Christ took bread, gave thanks, gave it to his disciples and said, "This is my body." Now, I'm not a genius, so I can't figure out how in the world it is. But Jesus said it, therefore I believe it, right? How about you? Because Jesus says it, it is. I could actually take you back to the Greek and show you how it is, but who cares? Jesus says it. It's done. Then he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood." His words, not mine. Not yours, his. In my blood, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. You're going to eat and drink bread and wine. And in a supernatural way, in a way that we can't understand, you will also be feasting on Christ's body and blood. He will be inside of you. Now don't forget that. Because if you do, you're going to leave him right here. You're going to come up to here. You're going to kneel. You're going to eat. Then you're going to go back to your seats. And if you're anything like some of the rest of us, you're going to forget that you just took communion. You're going to go out the doors. But Jesus comes to you here and here. He comes and gives you himself in with and under bread and wine. So when you walk out the doors, where does he go? Where does he go? Out the doors. He goes out the door with you. Let him live in here. Let him work out. Let his love, his forgiveness, his mercy be shown in you. It's the truth. It's his word. And it's all you need to take on the evil one. Christ has already died. He has already kicked Satan's butt. Royally. I believe Genesis says it best. Satan struck his heel. Jesus crushed Satan's head. Amen. Now that we have heard Jesus' words read and preached on, I invite you to please rise and let us confess with our mouths what we believe in our hearts using the words of the Nicene Creed.